Decision podcasts are brought to you by the New York Prosecutors Training Institute. Find this and other decisions at NIPTI Law. www.nipti.org/law.
People v. Patrick Labate, decided March 21, 2024. Wilson, Chief Judge, after filing an off-calendar statement of readiness in December 2017, the people were not ready on the first scheduled trial date of September 5, 2018. The people requested a 12-day adjournment without explanation, and the trial court adjourned the trial to October 18, 2018. On the next two dates set for trial, October 18 and November 28, the people again announced they were not ready, each time providing no explanation. Mr. Labate, who was charged with a Class A misdemeanor, was statutorily entitled to be tried within 90 days of his indictment. 420 days after his indictment, he had still not been tried. Indisputably, most of that time is not chargeable to the people. The sole question in this case is what part of the 43-day period between September 5, 2018, and October 18, 2018, should be charged to the people. On this record, the full 43-day adjournment is chargeable to the people, and the indictment was properly dismissed. 1. On December 10, 2017, Patrick Labate was arrested and charged with reckless driving, vehicle and traffic law section 1212, and related offenses. In short, he crashed his car into a parked police vehicle that had its overhead lights activated, instead of taking one of the two roads at either side of the police car. At arraignment the following day, the people were not ready on two counts, including the reckless driving count, because they lacked a necessary supporting deposition. On December 28, 2017, the people filed an off-calendar supporting deposition and a certificate of readiness declaring ready for trial on all counts. It is undisputed that between the day Mr. Labate was arraigned on December 11, 2017, and the off-calendar statement of readiness on December 28, 2017, 17 days were chargeable to the people. After a series of hearing dates where the people reaffirmed their readiness, criminal court set a first trial date for September 5, 2018. On that day, the people appeared and stated that they were not ready for trial. They requested a 12-day adjournment to September 17, 2018. The court inquired, "Why aren't the people ready? Do you have an indication?" To which the assistant district attorney who was filling in for the assigned trial assistant replied, "I do not at this time, Your Honor." The court then noted, "This case is from 2017. We need to prioritize it. Can we put this on for October 18th? All the parties agreed. On its court action sheet, the court wrote the people's reason for unreadiness is no reason and the case was adjourned to October 18, 2018. On October 18th, the people again stated that they were not ready. A different assistant district attorney, also not the assigned trial assistant, requested an adjournment to October 29, 2018. The court asked if the assistant district attorney who had handled the pretrial motions was still assigned to the case, to which the appearing assistant district attorney replied, "He was promoted within the office. I don't believe he's handling the case any longer." She named the new trial assistant assigned to the case, who was not present in court that day. The court pointed out that this case was last on September 5, which was prior to the promotion of the previously assigned trial assistant, and asked, "Why aren't the people ready today?" The people responded, "I'm not sure, Your Honor." The court then required the people to file a new certificate of readiness, "Because there's no reason given today, I'm going to require the people to file a certificate of readiness, and we'll adjourn this matter once again for trial." The court re-emphasized that this case is almost a year old. Although the people had requested an adjournment to October 29, the court offered a November date. All parties agreed to a November 28, 9:30 a.m. adjournment for trial. The court again wrote no reason for the people's unreadiness on its court action sheet. On the November 28 trial date, the people were once again not ready. The court asked the people if there was any reason they would like to place on the record and the people responded, "No, Your Honor." The people did not request an adjournment to a specific date. The court reminded the people that the order to file a certificate of readiness was a continuing standing order. The court then suggested a January trial date and the people offered that the first week of February is okay. The court clarified that the people understood they were being charged with the time until they filed the new certificate of readiness, and the people responded, "Yes, Your Honor. We'll file but, when we are ready." All parties agreed to a February 4, 2019 date for a jury trial. The court stated on the record that the people were charged with the entire period and once again put on its court action sheet no reason as to the people's unreadiness. Off calendar, on December 3, 2018, the people filed a new certificate of readiness. On February 4, Even though neither the Assistant District Attorney of Record nor the Defense Counsel of Record were present, the people, on the second call, indicated they were ready. At that point, Mr. Lobate's case was 420 days old. Defense counsel filed a motion to dismiss pursuant to CPL 30.30, asserting that the people were not ready for trial within the statutorily required 90-day period from the commencement of the action. 2. In his CPL 30.30 motion, Mr. Lobate argued that the people's failure to be ready on successive trial dates and requests for specific adjournments without offering any explanations rendered the earlier statement of readiness illusory. The people's opposition to the motion offered no explanation for why the people were not ready, or any general response to Mr. Lobate's accusation that the original off-calendar statement of readiness or the subsequent on-record indications of future readiness on September 17 were illusory. Criminal court denied Mr. Lobate's motion to dismiss. The court found the people were chargeable with 75 days and rejected Mr. Lobate's claim that the people should be charged with the entire 43-day adjournment from September to October. The court reasoned that September 5 was the people's first post-readiness declaration of unreadiness, and as the case was not adjourned to the people's requested date, there is no basis to believe that the people would not actually be ready on the requested date. Mr. Lobate's case proceeded to trial, where a jury convicted him of reckless driving and acquitted him of all the remaining charges. Mr. Lobate appealed, and the appellate term unanimously reversed. The court reasoned that, because the people did not provide any explanation, reasonable or otherwise, for their failure to be ready on September 5, 2018, October 18, 2018 or November 28, 2018, Mr. Lobate met his burden of demonstrating that the people's statement that they would be ready for trial on September 17, which is presumed truth and accurate, was illusory, quoting People v. Brown. Thus, the court held that the people's failure to provide any explanation for their unreadiness on the first three trial dates or any basis for their 12-day adjournment request required them to be charged with the entire 43-day adjournment period from September 5 to October 18. As a result, the court reversed the judgment, granted the branch of Mr. Lobate's motion as to the reckless driving count, and dismissed that count. A judge of this court granted the people leave to appeal. We now affirm the appellate term's order, but on different reasoning. 3. The dispute about how to charge time in this case exists purely in a post-readiness context, meaning the time after which the people have already declared ready for trial. In a post-readiness context, the people are generally charged with any delay resulting from their own inaction, see Brown, but not delay attributable to the court, see People v. Goss. Thus, when the people request an adjournment to a specific date, the requested time is ordinarily charged to the people, and time beyond that is presumptively not charged to the people, because it is assumed to result from court congestion or some other factor beyond the people's control. The question here is whether that presumption can be maintained on this record. Our decisional law requires that the disputed time be charged to the people. Section 30.30 of the Criminal Procedure Law was enacted in 1972 to address prosecutorial delays that deprive defendants of their right to a prompt trial, hinder the people's ability to try cases effectively, and undermine public confidence in the criminal justice system. People v. Anderson. See also People v. Sinistage, People v. Price, Brown. The statute places a specific time limit on the people to be ready for trial and otherwise requires dismissal. Because the most serious offense with which Mr. Lobate was charged was a Class A misdemeanor, the people were required to be ready for trial within 90 days. Once a defendant sufficiently alleges that the people were not ready within the statutory period, the people have the burden of showing their entitlement to a statutory exclusion, Brown, citing People v. Luperone. Mr. Lobate sufficiently alleged that the people were not ready within 90 days as 420 days had elapsed between his indictment and the date of his CPL 30.30 motion. Section 30.30 also, however, specifically contemplates circumstances and periods that must be excluded when computing the people's time. The people may toll the speedy trial clock by declaring ready for trial, Brown. Being ready for trial requires the people to make a statement of readiness, either on the record in open court or as a written off-calendar notice, People v. Chavez, see also People v. Kenzia. Because a statement of readiness serves to toll the speedy trial clock from running either completely or for the remainder of that adjournment period, People v. Stirrup, a declaration of readiness must be more than merely mouthing those words, People v. England. Announcing trial readiness cannot simply be an empty declaration that the people are prepared to present their case, but instead must affirm that the people have done all that is required of them to bring the case to a point where it may be tried. Once the people have declared ready, a post-readiness delay may still be charged to the people when the delay is attributable to their inaction and directly implicates their ability to proceed to trial, Brown, quoting People v. Carter, see also Anderson. That proposition is long-standing. In People v. McKenna, we dismissed an indictment under CPL 30.30 because of an unexcused, post-readiness delay by the prosecution. Likewise, in People v. Jones, we held that the people's post-readiness unexcused failure to produce a defendant in their custody for trial warranted the people being charged the delay. Of course, there are plenty of perfectly good reasons why some of which the statute specifically contemplates the people may declare trial readiness and subsequently become unready on a scheduled trial date, causing a post-readiness delay that should not count against them. See CPL 30.30, 3, b, 4, see also People v. Dean. Subdivision 4 recognizes that certain delays are inherent in any criminal justice system and must be tolerated, and that other delays are caused by the defendant and should not prejudice the people's right to bring him to trial. One such reason is court congestion. Our decisional law draws a line between post-readiness and pre-readiness delay as it relates to court congestion. Although the courts may be congested before the people are ready to try a case, the time is charged to the people because such delays do not excuse the people from timely declaring their readiness for trial. People v. Smith, People v. Brothers, court congestion before the district attorney is ready for trial, is irrelevant and thus cannot excuse the district attorney's failure to be ready. While court congestion may prevent a trial, in no sense does it operate to prevent the district attorney from being ready. See also People v. Collins, People v. Coria. Correspondingly, once the people announce they are ready for trial, a post-readiness delay due to court congestion is not chargeable to the people when they were ready to try the case but the court, or defendant, was not. See People ex rel. Franklin v. Warden, Brooklyn House of Detention for Men, People v. Giordano, Anderson, People v. Cortez, Goss, Brown. That distinction is important here. Charging courts with post-readiness delays means the people are in fact ready for trial and the court's congestion, or the defendant's unreadiness, or other factors affecting court availability, is the only reason preventing the case from advancing to trial. Our decisional law supports that distinction. See Franklin, where none of the delays were attributed to the failure of the prosecutor to be ready for trial given they maintained readiness and offered proof that the cause was calendar congestion and lack of court facilities. Giordano, affirming the order of the appellate division where the people established their continued readiness for trial during a period where the defendant was out of the court's jurisdiction and continued to do so until defendant was brought to trial and the people further established that the delay was due to court congestion. Anderson, the people established on the record their continued readiness for trial during the period after readiness was announced and further established that the delay was attributable to court congestion. Cortez, once the people announce their readiness on the record, subsequent delays resulting from court congestion provide no basis for CPL 30.30 as that delay does not directly implicate the people's ability to proceed with trial. Put simply, where the impediment that caused the delay during the disputed periods does not affect the people's ability to present their own case and consequently does not affect their readiness, those periods of post-readiness delay are simply not cognizable under CPL 30.30, Cortez. Indeed, it would make no sense to charge the people with delay when they are ready to go forward with trial and factors unrelated to their readiness prevent one from occurring. 4. It follows then that our precedents consistently explain that if the people are not ready for trial after they have declared readiness and seek an adjournment, the people must provide an explanation for their post-readiness requests for adjournments either some time before or in response to a defendant's CPL 30.30 motion. That explanation, whether given in advance of the scheduled trial date, contemporaneously with it, or thereafter, is presumed valid, and the people will not be charged with the time beyond that which they requested in determining whether their 30.30 time has expired. The burden then shifts to the defendant to overcome that presumption. See Brown. Our most recent explanation of that test is set forth in People v. Brown, which we decided with two companion cases, People v. Young and People v. Kennedy. In Section 2 of that opinion, which contains our statement of law that controlled all three cases, we stated, in the post-readiness context, the people bear the burden of ensuring that the record explains the cause of adjournment sufficiently for the court to determine which party should properly be charged with any delay. In that same section, we repeated that the people retain the obligation in the post-readiness context to ensure that the record explains the cause of adjournment sufficiently for the court to determine which party should properly be charged with any delay, citing Stirrup. We reiterated that point a third time, stating, if the people announce that they are not ready after they have filed an off-calendar statement of readiness, the people ultimately must explain the reason for their change in readiness status. We expressly stated, and now reaffirm, that the people could, but need not, state the reasons on the record at the calendar call. In all events, however, The people must establish a valid reason for their unreadiness in response to a defendant's CPL 30.30 motion. In sum, Brown requires the people to ensure that the record explains the cause of adjournments. The people's explanation may be provided contemporaneously in open court, which may be the simplest, or later, even as late as in response to a defendant's motion under CPL 30.30, because a determination as to whether an adjournment will be charged or excluded is ordinarily made when the defendant moves to dismiss, and not at the time the adjournment is granted, People v. Berkowitz. However, when the people have failed to offer a reason for a post-readiness adjournment request causing delay of a previously scheduled trial date, they are charged with the entire delay, not merely the length of the adjournment they requested. Brown is not novel in that regard. It merely reminded that the people's explanation need not be made contemporaneously in open court. Nearly a quarter century earlier, in People v. Liotta, we held that, where, as here, the court grants adjournments after the people have announced the indictment ready for trial, the burden rests on the people to clarify, on the record, the basis for the adjournment so that on a subsequent CPL 30.30 motion the court can determine to whom the adjournment should be charged. Inasmuch as the people failed to do so in this case, the adjournment must be charged to them. Likewise, in People v. Jameson, we found a 49-day post-readiness adjournment was chargeable to the people because on the calendar call the prosecutor did not assert the people's readiness for trial or ask the court for an explanation for the lengthy adjournment. Because the people failed to clarify, on the record, the basis for this adjournment, the period was properly charged to them. See also Collins, where the people failed to prove their post-readiness request for a continuance was only for a 5-day adjournment. The people clearly failed to meet their burden of making a record to reflect the true basis for this 2-week adjournment, thus the entire delay was charged to them. Despite the dissent's recharacterization of our precedent, there is simply no escaping the very first paragraph of Brown, which states its holding, in relevant part. If the people announce that they are not ready after having filed an off-calendar statement of readiness, and the defendant challenges such statement at a calendar call, in a CPL 30.30 motion, or both, the people must establish a valid reason for their change in readiness status to ensure that a sufficient record is made for the court to determine whether the delay is excludable. Contrary to the dissent's contention, People v. Kennedy does not suggest otherwise. Instead, the contrast between Brown and Kennedy provides a good illustration of our long-standing rule. In Kennedy, after filing an off-calendar statement of readiness, the people subsequently showed up to court 2 separate times, announced they were no longer ready, and requested specific and shorter adjournment dates than the court ultimately gave them. Brown. The first time, the people were not ready because the assigned prosecutor was engaged in a trial. The second time, the people were not ready because the people did not have their file. Both times, however, the people gave reasons for their post-readiness adjournment requests. Accordingly, this court concluded that they should have been charged only with the time they had requested. Indeed, the paragraph stating the result in Kennedy, the post-readiness delay attributable to the court is not charged to the people, begins by stating that the people were not ready because the prosecutor was on trial in another case. Thus, the people's provision of a reason was central to our holding in Kennedy, as the balance of the opinion expresses clearly and repeatedly. Mr. Lobate's case is not like Kennedy, it is instead like Brown. In Brown, after filing an off-calendar statement of readiness, the people appeared at the subsequent calendar call and announced they were not ready and, as here, failed to provide an explanation as to why they were not ready. What is clear from the difference between Brown and Kennedy, and from our consistent precedents from Liotta onward, is that, once a defendant raises a CPL 30.30 challenge, the people must, at some point, provide an explanation for their post-readiness adjournments and delay so that the court can determine what portion of the delay is properly attributable to them. The crucial error in our dissenting colleagues' misimpression that we are overturning decades of precedent is most clearly found in their contention that the additional 31 days were undisputedly caused by court congestion. The people have a duty to maintain readiness, see Kenzia. Here, after declaring readiness, the people were not ready on September 5th, nor again on the next scheduled trial date of October 18th, nor on the next scheduled trial date of November 28th, and asserted readiness, though the trial assistant was not present, on the date that Mr. Lobate moved to dismiss on CPL 30.30 grounds 420 days after the accusatory instrument was filed. As in Liotta, the burden rests on the people to clarify the basis for the adjournment so that the court can determine to whom the adjournment should be charged, and Brown, the people must establish a valid reason for their change in readiness status, for the court to determine whether the delay is excludable. The people's repeated unexplained unreadiness on repeated trial dates to which they had assented, casts grave doubt on any claim that the delay undisputedly was due to court congestion. Our dissenting colleagues caution our holding today is insensitive to faultless prosecutors and will lead to people who perpetrate crimes escaping accountability due to mere scheduling errors. At bottom, however, our dissenting colleagues take umbrage with the CPL 30.30 statute as a whole, rather than with our holding. What they characterize as an unnecessary technicality that will undoubtedly result in the unnecessary dismissal of viable prosecutions with no basis for such dismissal found in CPL 30.30, is in fact, not a new rule but has been in place for half a century, equally contemplated by both the legislature and our precedent. Imposing strict time limitations on the prosecution with the threat of dismissal is consequential. No doubt the legislature was aware of the potential impact speedy trial limits would have on the state and enacted CPL 30.30 nonetheless. Undeniably, the legislature still concluded that defendants, victims, and society are best served by a criminal justice system that expedites prosecutions and manages delays accordingly, Brown. It is also unclear why our dissenting colleagues believe that our decision will cause people who commit heinous crimes to walk free. The duty of the people to explain the reason for their unreadiness is slight and need not be stated contemporaneously. Moreover, although Mr. Lobate's conviction occurred immediately before April 2019, when the legislature amended CPL 30.30 as part of a suite of criminal justice reforms, People v. Galindo, those amendments restate in part the same rule from Brown that we reaffirm today. As relevant here, the legislature amended portions of Subdivision 4, which governs the periods of time to be excluded when calculating chargeable time to the people. Section 30.30 now provides that any such exclusion when a statement of unreadiness has followed a statement of readiness made by the people must be evaluated by the court after inquiry on the record as to the reasons for the people's unreadiness and shall only be approved upon a showing of sufficient supporting facts. Thus, the dissent's concerns will materialize or not without regard to our decision. 5. Here, as described above, the people filed an off-calendar statement of readiness, were not ready on three successive trial dates, and failed to provide any explanation despite the court's invitation to do so, and despite the opportunity to provide an explanation in their opposition to Mr. Lobate's 30.30 motion. Indeed, even in their papers to this court, the people offered no explanation for any of the times they were not ready on a previously scheduled trial date to which they had assented. Surely that conduct does not serve the legislature's intended purpose of discouraging prosecutorial inaction, Price. Instead, the people's conduct fits squarely within our dissenting colleagues' understanding of post-readiness delays. They are charged to the people only when the delay is attributable to their inaction and directly implicates their ability to proceed to trial. Accordingly, applying the rule of Liotta and Brown, the order of the appellate term should be affirmed. Order affirmed. Opinion by Chief Judge Wilson. Judges Rivera, Cannataro and Halligan concur. Judge Troutman dissents in an opinion, in which Judges Garcia and Singas concur. Decided March 21, 2024.
Decision podcasts are brought to you by the New York Prosecutors Training Institute. Find this and other decisions at NIPT Law. www.nipt.org/law